curb with the remote on top, and some good soul would come pick it up before garbage day even got there. But it doesn't work that way anymore. Now that we have to pay, sometimes by the pound, to discard our electronics, it's a lot more complicated than it used to be. We're starting to be conscious of what happens to the metals in our electronics after we're done with them. It's a lot to sort out, so we have an e-scrap panel here today to help us with that. Sarah Murray has worked for the DNR since January 2006 as a communication specialist for the Waste and Materials Management Program. Her primary focus has been developing print and web publications for the general public on recycling and other waste topics, along with conducting research on issues such as the connection between waste management and climate change. Sarah also helps to develop programs and policies for the statewide recycling program. In addition, she has developed outreach materials for the air management program. Sarah also does communications and outreach work for the River Alliance of Wisconsin, a statewide nonprofit. Before moving back to Madison in 2005, she spent 2 years in Seattle completing a master's degree in environmental policy and communications at the University of Washington. Her undergraduate degree is from UW-Madison, where she was an editor of the Daily Cardinal. Jeff DeGarmo is a national account executive for CRT Processing LLC, working from its corporate headquarters in Janesville. For the past 2 years, he's been servicing the electronic waste generators throughout the United States and Canada. After attending UW-Whitewater College of Business, Jeff has obtained 20 years of experience as a sales representative. CRT Processing has 6 facilities throughout the country and is one of 4 companies in North America that completes the entire recycling process to reusable commodities within its own plants. Toral Jha has been the industry relations representative for Cascade Asset Management since June 2007, managing marketing and thought leadership efforts for the company. Prior to joining Cascade and the private sector, Ms. Jha worked in the nonprofit and local state government sectors, developing and managing environmental education and advocacy programs regarding recycling and pollution prevention. Thank you for being here.
All right, let us know if you have trouble hearing us or following along. Like Vicki mentioned, I'm Sarah Murray, and I work for the DNR. And the three of us will be tag-teaming this presentation, going back and forth, and hopefully leaving a fair amount of time for questions at the end. And one thing that I think will make this presentation a little bit different is we'll be talking to you both professionally and personally, because all of us are dealing with electronics pretty much everywhere in our lives right now. And I just wanted to get a little bit of a sense, how many of you at your stations or wherever else you work within the next year will be upgrading or replacing some electronics equipment? All right. How many of you at home have some sort of electronics, whether it's TVs, computers, cell phones, sitting around in closets or attics or various places not being used right now? Yeah. Sort of tied into that, how many of you are planning to get new electronics equipment within the next year at home? All right, so this is a big issue for all of us in all aspects of our lives. And what we're going to try and do here is tell you a little bit of a story about what happens to these electronics. First of all, what your choices are and options in terms of dealing with them after you're done using them, and some of the implications for that. So a big focus of this, as you know, is the upcoming transition to digital television. And we've all been hearing a lot about consumers wanting to switch their TVs out or VCRs and DVD players because they won't work the same way anymore. This is going to be an issue because it's going to add even more to an already growing volume of electronics that we're getting rid of every year. In 2005 alone, and I'm willing to bet this has gone up since then, the Environmental Protection Agency estimated that between 250 and 350 million electronic devices became obsolete. And what we want to look at here is, let's say you either at your stations or other workplaces or at home have decided that you want to upgrade to a new television for the transition. What are you going to do with your old one? So why is this an issue? Why is this even a question? Why can't you just chuck it on the curb like you maybe used to do? One big issue is that there's a lot of harmful materials in these machines, and I think Jeff is going to walk us through a little bit on this diagram.
Yeah, if I could, let's talk about the good and the bad stuff in our video display devices. Monitors, televisions, scanners, and such, they all contain what's called cathode ray tubes. In those tubes is from 4 to 12 pounds of lead in each device, cadmium, beryllium, and barium. And they're all supposed to be recycled if generated by businesses to the EPA standards. The chemistry makeup in that glass, the funnel glass alone, makes up these toxins. We've been filling our landfills for years with obsolete, and the gentleman walking away is going to replace his television, as you all have. We've been just filling the landfills with these. And these toxins have been leaking into our groundwater. The EPA implemented this federal CRT rule in 2006. I'll talk more about that later. The good side of this is there's precious metals, and even in monitors and televisions, there's low-grade boards we can capture commodity values from. That alone should be for reuse, should be incentive to recycle. Also in those, there's copper and stainless steel. And your CPUs, most of the items in CPUs, in fact, 100% of it is recyclable and reusable. The chemistry makeup of your high-grade boards and so on, you have gold and precious metals from your processors and copper and so on. The LCD displays that we're now using and all going to be using before long, I'm sure, I'll just back up a sec. Other countries are still manufacturing CRT-containing devices and will be for about 5 to 8 years is our speculative goals. But in the LCD-containing devices, there's a mercury tube that needs to be removed before you recycle it. The other item is of course, in your hard drives in your CPUs, the data security issues we're all aware of. A lot of people are printing to copiers in your businesses now. Those copiers contain hard drives. They contain all your personal data if you send an email to those hard drives. Just FYI on those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
You could see all the different makeup of those materials there. We can talk about it later if you have questions. Thanks.
Yeah. So as Jeff mentioned, there's both harmful materials, and then sometimes even those same materials are very valuable, both from a monetary standpoint, if we're creating new electronic devices, and also from an environmental standpoint. If you're able to recover gold and lead and copper from these machines, that's that much less that we have to mine in sometimes not the greatest environmental conditions, especially some of the mining that's happening overseas. So if we've convinced you that it's a problem, it's also my job as the DNR to talk about what the rules are. And as Jeff alluded to, if you are a business, so pretty much any place of work, whether it's a business or a nonprofit institution, even a home office, you are required by law in Wisconsin to either recycle electronic devices or manage them as hazardous waste, especially when it comes to things like the monitors, things with the cathode ray tubes, or CPUs and other electronic devices that have a lot of these harmful materials. And I can answer more questions about that later, too, if you have specifics. If you are an individual or a household, you're not required by law right now in Wisconsin to recycle these items, but obviously because of the issues we've talked about, we highly encourage you to recycle, especially as there are more options becoming available. This might be changing, and that's something we'll talk about in a little bit, some legislation that may change the makeup of this. So if I've convinced you either as a business that you're required to or as a household that it's a good idea to recycle, what we're going to spend the next part of our presentation doing is talking about how you might do that and how you might make sure that it's being done safely. And this is a resources screen. I should mention we'll have some copies of this presentation in the back when you leave, and I can also put this back up later or happy to answer questions if some of you want some of these resources. But on the DNR's website, we have some of this information we're covering today about why you should recycle, how to recycle, and several of these other websites are places where you can help start to find electronics recyclers, because it's not quite as clear-cut right now as I'm sure all of us would like it to be in terms of how you do go about that recycling process. And some of the reasons that it's so important is it's not good enough to just say, okay, I've looked in the phone book, found somebody who says they'll recycle my stuff, and I'll just ship it off, whether it's, you know, my household TV or a truckload of things for my business. You may all be aware that there's been a lot of attention in the media about problems with electronics recycling, especially in foreign countries with some of these materials being dumped and disassembled in, you know, very poor conditions, especially for worker safety and environmental safety. There's also, as Jeff mentioned, you want to make sure you're finding somebody who will responsibly take care of your data, especially at a business, but also at home. Anything that you've done on that computer and increasingly other electronic devices is stored there, and so you want to make sure that that's being taken care of by your recycling, by your electronics recycler.
These cell phones contain a hard drive also that anybody can retrieve your data from.
Mm-hmm. So part of what we're going to do next is Toril and Jeff both come from companies that do a great job of handling these materials in a responsible way, both in terms of your data, their worker safety, and environmental safety. And they're going to talk a little bit about their processes, and then we'll talk some more about what you can do both as a business and in terms of broadcasters getting the message out and as individuals to recycle your electronics.
Okay, so as Sarah said, we're just going to give you a snapshot. We don't want this to be at all a time to just sort of tout ourselves, but we do work together, CRT Processing and Cascade Asset Management, to really uphold high quality recycler standards, because there is, unfortunately, there aren't very good industry standards out there right now. So it's really up to the players in the industry to ensure that there are some high quality standards that we can sort of play by ourselves. Cascade, we serve enterprise customers as well as local government units around the country. And so in terms of, speaking to you as broadcasters, we would work with companies like the ones that you associate yourselves with. As residents, we also work with local governments that have collection events or drop-off programs that residents can use to drop off unwanted electronics. In terms of ensuring environmental safety, we have an environmental safety or environmental management system, and we're ISO 14001 certified. And then we're also what's called an e-steward. There's a watchdog group called the Basel Action Network that has a pledge of true stewardship, and Cascade was one of the original signatories of that pledge. Again, it's an industry-motivated, high standards system, basically saying that in lieu of industry regulations that are out there that are really doing a good job regulating this industry, the industry is going to kind of regulate itself for now. So there's two ways that our customers work. We have either the asset recovery, which is refurbishable and remarketable goods, and we take equipment for refurbishment, and then we will also, in terms of the data security that Jeff was referring to, we will go either off-site to a person's facility or on-site at our own facility to make sure that we can, sorry, the other way around, we'll go on-site to a person's facility or off-site at our own facility to ensure that we're wiping the data, because everywhere from the drivers on a computer's printer or the computer itself or people's PDAs, we want to make sure that there isn't any sensitive, compromising data that escapes people's control. And then we, of course, have qualified third-party buyers. One of the photos that you saw, or the photo that you saw earlier of the child that was taken in an Asian country, and unfortunately, there are a lot of buyers out there that'll say that they're recovering the stuff overseas, but then they end up scrapping it just for the valuable materials that Jeff and Sarah were talking about before. So we make sure that we audit those buyers that are saying, yes, we do work with institutions overseas that may have lower systems requirements than the systems requirements of corporations in this country, and then can actually see a new life for that commodity overseas. And then those things that cannot be refurbished, we go through a disassembly mode, and then actually get demanufactured into their component parts, back into those valuable commodities, copper and aluminum and steel and other boards and things like that. And that really, that manual disassembly really yields a high-quality product that you can then turn that copper back into copper products and so on and so forth to ensure that the global marketplace is seeing commodities coming back instead of having to mine for virgin materials and keeping materials buried in landfills is not economically viable for the global economy. And then the last process for this is also same as we do with our buyers for refurbishable computers. For our downstream processors who are taking that copper or that other material and turning it back into usable commodities, we audit them as well to make sure that they are not dumping this stuff overseas or in someone's backyard and actually are doing what they're saying that they're doing. And one of those downstream processors that we work with is CRT processing, and they do a lot more than just CRTs, but Jeff is going to talk about that.
Thanks, Toril.
To add something to what Toril said, the EPA in Washington tells us there's 500-plus electronics recyclers in the United States in the phone book. 28 have registered with the EPA to export whole CRTs. There's 228 that they say are managing electronics properly. The other ones are strictly brokers. And those guys are just for profit, sending to third world countries monitors and televisions or CRTs or whatever they can. And that's where children and poor laborers are tearing them apart. And you see these videos. You've probably seen them on CNN or 60 Minutes. They're still showing these things. And those are the guys that the EPA is out regulating and looking for. As far as CRT processing, our business is concerned, I won't go into this too long because this isn't a sales spiel, but to understand what we believe is, well, the EPA says is the proper way to manage CRTs is we break them down to furnace-ready, the CRTs themselves, the glass is furnace-ready cullet. We separate the panel and funnel glass, clean it, send it out to glass manufacturers around the world. There's 9 manufacturers in the world that still make CRTs, I said earlier, 5 to 8 years. The reason they'll continue to do so is the amount of money we save them. 35 to 50% of their cost in remanufacturing CRTs by using our cullet as opposed to new glass. They don't have to come up with the chemistry. It's already made. When it leaves our plant, there's no contaminants whatsoever. So there's still a commodity value, and there will be for some time. Monitors and televisions by the EPA have said there's only a couple ways to do it. There's only a few of us in North America that do it entirely. We do receive 6 to 10 semis a week from Canada. There's 4 provinces in Canada that have passed legislation that don't want to pollute, so they send it to us. The other eastern provinces are working on that. CRT processing, we started 5 years ago in Janesville. We now have 6 facilities across the country. 2 gentlemen with a combined 40 years experience in handling hazardous waste and recycling got together and saw a need in the industry. This industry is, as I mentioned before, and if I didn't, it's a $1.5 billion a year revenue business and employs over 20,000 people in the United States alone. We designed a system that processes everything. Anything that plugs in, we take apart and sell back out as a commodity. Out of the 30 million pounds we put out in last year, only less than 5% was waste. That waste may come from console televisions, the wood, and things like that. That's about it. And responsible recyclers like Cascade, we have a great partnership, as Toril mentioned. There's quite a few good recyclers out there. I don't want to sound like we're the only guys. There's a lot of them in Wisconsin. There's a lot of them that work with us as far as the CRTs. They just send raw CRTs. They separate everything else themselves. There's many of them. We received in Janesville about 12 semis a day of this material, and all of it's broken down there in our plant. We run 3 shifts doing that. By following the EPA's guidelines to do that, we've saved a lot of people some headaches and fines, and I'll talk about the federal CRT rule in a minute and what those fines are. We've already exceeded over 50 million pounds this year in Janesville alone. I'll be glad to answer some questions when we're done.
All right, so the next thing, and I'll look to Toril and Jeff a lot on this. I mentioned earlier that right now households and individuals are not required to recycle these electronic items, and actually they're not banned from landfills unless they're coming from businesses right now. But there is legislation under development to change that. It's modeled after some legislation in Minnesota and other states around here. And I'll let Toril sort of take the lead on explaining the first part of this.
What this legislation is called is it's based on a producer responsibility model, basically saying that the producers and manufacturers of electronics are responsible for the full life cycle. So they make design decisions in terms of the obsolescence of the material or the products and the chemicals that go into those materials. And so there is this school of thought that they should have some financial responsibility associated with the proper disposal and recovery of those products. So Minnesota effectively passed legislation that followed this model in 2007, and they've had a successful year, and now Wisconsin and other states are following suit to say we want to follow the same model. Up until now, what's happened is recyclers like CRT Processing and Cascade would join up with local communities, and communities would bear this burden of financing and organizing large-scale events for local residents to collect material, and then the local government folks would either charge the citizens for the proper recycling of the CRTs and the other computer equipment, or they would bear the burden themselves. And this, again, takes away that burden. Without going into the very complicated details of how it all works, it's a free market system, so recyclers and manufacturers and local government folks sort of work together to find the best solution, and then recyclers and manufacturers or collectors and manufacturers develop a negotiated relationship, and recyclers and collectors collect on behalf of the manufacturer's obligation. So that's it in a nutshell. Senator Mark Miller from Monona sponsored this bill last year. Unfortunately, it was brought into session really late in the session, and so it didn't really take full ground. But there is movement to reintroduce it this year as well. Several of the things that it does, I mentioned removing the taxpayer burden, has a manufacturer responsibility, but it also prescribes a landfill ban, which offers a little more incentive to ensure that this material doesn't end up in people's trash cans and really requires for folks to kind of keep it out of their trash cans and use a viable resource for disposal. And then also, even though businesses are not the targeted source of material, what happens in these kinds of programs is you see the proliferation of more and more recyclers kind of coming, and you see so-called bad actors kind of falling by the wayside. And so it creates more solutions for those businesses and institutions that are otherwise required to recycle this stuff effectively. And then the last thing is Jeff and I have been involved with the DNR in prescribing these recycler standards to say that if you're going to be a part of this program here in Wisconsin or in other states, that there are some basic recycler standards that you have to adhere to ensure this stuff is not shipped overseas and that it's processed correctly and responsibly. So these pieces of legislation often yield to higher recycler standards than are otherwise realized in current state government. And then I guess you're going to talk about the federal regulations?
Just that federal CRT rule I've mentioned was implemented in July of 2006. Many businesses are now aware of it, although it's over 2 years old. If you're a business and generate over 220 pounds of monitors or televisions, you're not supposed to take them to a landfill, you're not supposed to export or have your recycler export those materials. The recycler and the generator is responsible for the downstream of where this ends up. Federal CRT rule states, and the penalties are $27,500 a day. I'm not an attorney. This comes from the EPA in Washington. This is their definition and what their fines are for both the generators and recyclers. Municipalities, there's a little leeway in that, but their recyclers can be fined. There are civil penalties and jail time as well. Most large Fortune 500 companies are aware of this and are doing the due diligence, and that's what's recommended by the EPA and us. Where does all the materials end up? Not just dropped off at a recycler's door and then I'm done, wash your hands of it. Not the case. So the generators are responsible until the end of it, be it the entire CRT or even sometimes the plastic, the metals, and so on. You need to show. And there's new legislation that's being talked about nationally that you'll need to show exactly where your metals and your plastic ended up. We can talk more about that.
Okay. We're throwing a lot of information at you, and I want to make sure we get to questions. We've got a last few slides to bring it back to a little bit more about what you can do as businesses, as broadcasters who are maybe promoting messages about the digital TV transition, and also as individuals. Even though we don't have legislation in Wisconsin creating more of a recycling network, it's really growing. A lot of communities are having collections, especially in advance of this digital TV transition. There's also several retailers. I've seen more and more every day, both retailers and manufacturers sponsoring events, whether it's Sony and Samsung or Best Buy and Staples, a lot of different people in the electronics industry getting out there and promoting these things.
Samsung just, we're just working with them, and we need 200 to 300 collection facilities around the country for them to manage their program. They're not made to do so in various states, but they're going to do it nationwide, as Sony's been doing, and other manufacturers are kind of following suit, so that they all have a national footprint before those states pass legislation.
Yeah, and I guess I'll just add, too, that the legislation that Wisconsin is considering would be, if it passes, would be the 19th or 20th piece of legislation that exists in the U.S. So the recent statistic that has come out is of all these pieces of legislation that have passed around the state, that 50%, over 50% of the U.S. population is served by one piece of legislation or another. And so a lot of these manufacturers that are feeling the heat and realizing that it is the correct thing to do to take some ownership, it offers their brand some good corporate stewardship points, but also it is really an economic decision and it secures that they're going to be doing the right thing. But a lot of these programs, Sony, LG, Samsung, and other retailers are stepping in saying, look, we're not even going to wait for legislation. We're just going to put in place some great programs that then a resident or a consumer can use anywhere in the country, wherever they may go.
I have to mention there's a large manufacturers group. It's called the MRM Group. They're looking at a combined conglomerate to get their poundage and get their credits together, and they're doing so. It's Panasonic, Sharp, Toshiba. There's many of them, so a lot of the manufacturers have taken charge to do so. What they're also mandating to do globally is to look into a different way, different means to manufacture their devices so they're easier to be recycled. Recyclers have asked for this, and some of them have responded.
Okay. A few more things just for you as broadcasters. I mean, the first thing, as we've talked about, is you're required to recycle your own equipment, and we'll definitely be happy to answer some more questions about the best ways to do that. But we also wanted to mention some things you could do as broadcasters, specifically with the digital TV and some of the other things going on. The first is just for the digital TV transition, if you have messages, try and include some basic recycling messages with that. And I think on my next slide I'll have some of that, and any of us would be happy to talk to you about what some of those messages might be. Another thing is, at the DNR we haven't had the staff to compile a really comprehensive list of all these programs, whether it's manufacturers or retailers or communities doing it. But any of you who are working in local communities, you could find out if the community is planning a collection or if you have some of these big box stores or manufacturers or waste management, some of the other trash companies working on these collection events and recycling. You can promote those specifically in your community. And another option, and I think it's something that Jeff could talk a little bit more about if there's questions on it, if you want, it is possible to sponsor collection events. But we also want to emphasize that it's not easy to just set up a truck somewhere and ask people to bring in their old TVs and just send it off to recycler. It requires a lot of planning. There's a cost to this. And it's something that if you were interested in doing, other broadcasters have done this, but it's something you definitely want to not take on lightly. Just one more, sort of emphasizing again the message you can put out to people. A lot of you know this already, I think, about the digital TV transition, but just promoting that people don't necessarily have to get rid of electronics equipment, that it is possible to still use older devices with the digital signals. If you do decide to get rid of things, though, or if consumers are, we would really encourage you to recycle them and look for recyclers. And I'll just mention, we do have more information. If there's any specific questions on that or on the DNR website, we've got more information about this topic. We've got some questions you can ask recyclers, either for your business individually or if you're interested in promoting collections, just to make sure that you are a responsible recycler and following all the practices that Toril and Jeff have outlined. So I think with that, I'll put up our contact information. I'm happy to go back to other slides if you want to discuss them, but I don't know, do one of you guys want to sort of run the questions?
I think they have.
Right.
I think this question is for Jeff. Do you know what you will do with the cullet, the glass from the CRTs when CRTs are no longer made?
That panel glass won't contain the toxins that the CRT funnel glass does. So that glass, there's additives that can be added to the glass after it's broken down and cleaned. After that, that glass, those additives, there's some things being looked at as to those materials will be added to, be it concrete, blacktop, things like that.
It's an open question here to the three of you. I took a personal printer into a recycle or a community event recycle, and I asked the gentleman there what happens to the printer, and he said it gets ground up and the parts get parted out after they're ground up. Does that sound like a viable thing to do to a printer? Was that a legitimate response from him?
Shredding a printer is okay, yes. That's what many recyclers are doing. That it's quicker and easier.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chemical processes that can then be applied to the material that gets shredded to then separate out the different types of metals and the different types of plastics. So I just went to an industry, you were there too, at an industry conference, and there was one of these very large shredding operations that operate in North America, and they had samples there of really the copper that gets extruded out and after they've shredded everything. So it definitely is viable. It's there is a varying schools of thought, though, in terms of what else can be shredded effectively.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point, though, that we would encourage you, especially if you're sort of shopping for a recycler in the first place, to ask questions about where things go. And if you're not sure about an answer, you can call one of us or look and get more information. And we really recommend talking to a couple different recyclers, especially if it's your business and you want to recycle a large volume of material. On our website and in the back there, we have some samples of questions, but ask where materials are going, what measures are being taken to make sure they are being legitimately recycled and none of these toxins are getting into the environment. We really strongly recommend, because there isn't one set certification program. It really is, to a certain extent, up to the consumer to ask these questions and make sure they're using a reputable recycler.
So at the post office, there are mailers available for smaller items, I understand, batteries, copier, cartridges, cell phones. I take it those are going to a reputable recycler?
The U.S. Postal Service has set up a national contract with a couple different recyclers. We're managing it in some areas for them, yes. And there's a take-back box program that you can drop off those materials.
Question or comment, you do have brochures, don't you?
Yes.
Because this is worth taking back to our folks.
Mm-hmm. And
thank you.
And like I mentioned, there are some copies of the presentation, and any of these contacts, any of us are really happy, if we don't have the right information here for you today, to provide more and help you out with this.
Anybody's welcome for tours of our facilities. Just schedule them, and we have an open door, as Toral and Cascade do as well.
Much though I hate to see government getting involved with stuff, this is something that's really got to happen, one way or the other.
Took a little time, but I think they're on board.
I have a question. As a TV station, if I have a building full of old TVs and if we part them out, can we bring a pickup truck full of CRTs down to your company, or do you not accept them from individual businesses?
Absolutely. Certainly.
Okay.
We recommend you don't break them. If you break them, they can be considered hazardous waste depending on which state you're in. If they break in transit and less than 5% of it breaks, it's not an issue.
I don't come from Wisconsin, but I come from west of Chicago. And one of the things that we find down there, and it occurs to me that a broadcaster could fit right in with this, I think, at least in the announcement of where it's located. But when we have a recycle program, it seems like they take everything from storage batteries to electronics to books and everything else.
Sure.
But it seems to me that the broadcaster could, and I don't have an immediate answer for this, but let's suppose that within a community, trailers were set up for electronics, and one other item is paints. Try and get rid of a quart of paint someplace. You can hardly do it. And when they have a recycle program, or pickup once a year, they there's just a convergence of people that's on the thing there, and it makes it difficult to do it. Now, if they had the trailers where you could drop it off once a week even, would be wonderful.
Yeah.
As the legislative bills are passed in various states, they're mandated, it depends on which state, but most of them are on the same similar process where you need to have a collection facility in areas of X amount of population, and they need to be accessible to households for not just on Saturdays. They need to be, depends on where you're at and what days and what dates, but more than once a year. We just sponsored along with Fox News was in, we did a collection day at Chesney Park Mall, and we collected just 3 semis full of televisions besides all the other materials you're talking about. So it's doable, it just needs to be managed properly.
Yeah, and I'd say also as you're seeing more and more of these manufacturers that are taking on programs, that the availability it's not just then the onus doesn't fall on the local governments to have these collection sites, and you can now go more readily, over time it'll be more readily available to go to a Best Buy or to another retailer and drop off at any given day during business hours. So that's why these manufacturers are kind of stepping up, saying we want to make it available at any time. Sorry, you were going to ask a question.
I think a key point, too, is there's a cost associated with this, especially with some of the hazardous materials and CRTs and paints and some of the other things you've talked about. And as Toral mentioned earlier, I think right now local governments do have these 1-day-a-year or 2-day-a-year collection events. Some of them have permanent facilities. Madison, for instance, has a permanent drop-off facility, but that's been funded by local governments and ultimately by taxpayers. And one thing we're hoping is through the e-waste legislation, having manufacturers help pick up some of that tab, especially right now with TVs, or if there's any broadcasters in a position to even help out with that a little bit. There's a cost. Most people to recycle computer monitors or TVs, or recyclers will charge, it's about $10 or $15 a monitor just to cover.
Per pound fee, either way, but it needs to cover the cost of disassembly and so on.
Yeah, so that's been part of the challenge of this whole thing is it's not free, and especially for consumers, sometimes there's a reluctance to have to pay a lot for it, but it's fallen a lot on the taxpayers to take care of this so far.
Yeah, I would actually say that this is not really that painful of a process. I had just decommissioned 2 sites for the Educational Communications Board, and there's a process you can go through, and there's some things that you should all consider. I had participated in a study group in my community, Monona, and they do the Natural Stop. It's a study group that was a process that was developed by a doctor in Sweden. And it kind of was sort of, that area was a very depressed area. There were a lot of things that were similar to the Rust Belt, things that were going on with factories closing, and they changed a lot of things with not only how they did business, but some of it was also, too, in terms of, using certain chemicals that are a little more friendly in your plant, say.